Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and of course, this is America's Heroes Group. And you can always call us direct right here at 773-591-1690. And we are engaging, empowering, connecting, and transforming veterans by being the hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. We are, of course, proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. The toll-free number is 888-837-3275, and the office is 312-781-1977. We're also proudly sponsored by IARP Foundation, 222 North LaSalle Street, Suite 760, Chicago, Illinois, Chicago. The office number is 312-660-8662. And also by Pearl's Place Down Home Cooking, Southern Cooking. Let me add that. 3901 South Michigan. Great food. Chicago, Illinois. Phone number 877-275-5852. And, of course, we have a buffet dinner where we all meet on the last Saturday of the month, and we'll be letting you know about that. And won't you know, you can watch us live on Facebook right now. Just go to our website, americashg.org, americashg.org, and click on the Facebook icon on the top right corner of the webpage. Please like us by clicking the like button underneath our broadcast. To leave a comment, make sure you are logged into Facebook. It's so important that you leave a comment, good or bad. That way we can hear what is on your mind and continue to bring you the stories and information that is important to you. www.americashg.org. We are pleased to have our media people here at the moment because our panelists. I'm a panelist.
You are.
You're the host.
And the governor.
A website media producer who does all this great work for us, Manny Corazzari. Hey, Manny, how are you? Yeah. You got to say, yeah, Manny's not, he's doing this great work for us. Our executive producer, of course, is Glenda Smith. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Cliff. How are you, Governor Talk Radio?
Good. Our co-producer is Sean Claiborne. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. And, of course, the Colonel, Dr. Damon Arnold is with us today.
I'm here.
He's always here.
Enjoying the weather.
Yeah, that's right. Rochelle Crump is with us. She is the president and founder of the National Women's Veterans United.
President accounted for.
Okay.
I love it.
And, of course, our regular, we're always pleased to have none other than the consular attorney, Ernesto Borges. Hey, consular, how are you?
Hey, great.
Good.
Good afternoon, Cliff.
Good. Isn't it a beautiful afternoon?
I mean, it's gorgeous.
It is.
Yeah. It was raining early, and now everything's fine. Well, we're going to get started here. The This is something that's terrible. An Army veteran was left to die in a cell while his jailers laughed and took a video.
Yeah, part of the case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's on a PB for drugs.
We all think this needs to, like, go to school. This is, like, the new dare.
Can we just take him and put him in front of
the class? That would be fantastic.
If you could just wheel him in a cage and back
off. Oh, my God, what is that?
Just let him sit there for, like, 10 minutes and then don't do drugs and then wheel him back out.
She'd be like, look what I brought for show and tell today.
Yeah, and then one kid, that's my dad.
That's awful. I mean, that's absolutely
there's no face shots. You should go show this to his girlfriend. Like, you love this.
Well, she said that. I'm like, did you take the same time?
This is a horrible situation. An Army veteran was left to die from a drug overdose while in the custody of an Oregon state sheriff's office as deputies laughed and filmed the entire ordeal. According to the videos that were just released Thursday, Brian Perry, a 31-year-old Iraq war veteran and Purple Heart recipient, was arrested along with his girlfriend on suspicion of drug use. Now, in the video, he is seen thrashing, groaning in pain while in custody, while the county sheriff's office deputies are heard laughing and mocking his behavior.
That's
Dr. Arn? Yeah. You want to respond to that, Doc?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a disgrace. You know, I'm a combat veteran, and when I was taking people out of the field, they were screaming in pain because of IEDs and being blown to pieces. And to have someone come back and defend our nation so that you can have the right to be treated as a human being, it goes against every constitutional principle we have, every thought about being human and decency. And you're going to leave a veteran there to die once they get back home from having served in combat like an animal. Guess what? The person who loves them, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of my family.
Right.
And those people standing around, those clowns over there, those clowns need to go and join the circus, and they don't need to be part of any kind of institution that's supposed to be protecting people and making sure that they have a right. That veteran should never have died, and it is a travesty. It is something that, as a not only as a physician, but as just a human being, I abhor seeing that kind of thing happen.
Not only that, Ernesto.
Well,
you
you
Purple Heart veteran.
Sure,
he was too.
Absolutely,
which makes it even worse.
I don't know that the jailers knew that. I just want to say that it shouldn't happen to anybody,
right,
whether you're a veteran or whatever.
That's right.
Nobody should be treated like that.
Right.
If
right.
they suspect that he's on some type of drug, why wouldn't they give him some kind of medical, call the medics, get him to a hospital, or something? Because there must have been a reason that they thought he was for drug use suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say he found any drugs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So obviously he must have ingested these drugs. So if he's acting like that, they should have responded to that. Veteran or not veteran, it's just more tragic that it was a veteran and
right.
a Purple Heart winner who has served this country.
A human being,
But he's, but it happens a lot.
Well, these folks ought to be locked up.
Yeah.
But they still judge and jury over him. That's the point. They judged him based on his behavior, even if he was on drugs. Who are they to determine that he didn't deserve treatment or some type of help?
Right.
So they stood there laughing.
Mm-hmm.
In a disrespectful, non-military way because they have not served, instead of being appreciative of what he has done and let's get him some help, they stood there and played judge and jury.
And being a combat veteran who has a Purple Heart, another dimension is here too, PTSD. And too many of our veterans are committing suicide.
That's right.
Part of the reason why he may have been on drugs was trying to cope with the after effects of having been in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to treat him like an animal. You know, the people who are involved in this, I hope they get some prison time for this. I really do. They need to be convicted and be co-conspirators and some form of involuntary manslaughter, something, because this is unconscionable, should never, ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are in this profession need to be trained, especially with our veterans out there right now who may be in similar situations. We don't know if this is the first time this happened or if it's going to happen again.
Yeah, that's right.
But it should not happen.
Exactly, and they need to make an example of these people and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely, and then when you think it's 2018, it goes beyond training pretty much. You know, it would be different if this was a long time ago, but there's been too many instances in the news and every other place to know that veterans suffer from different ailments, including the invisible wounds.
Let me ask this, too. I don't know whether anybody here knows. Do we know the race of this gentleman?
He was white.
Yes, he's white.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Cliff, there was.
I'm glad to hear that.
Right.
I'm glad to hear that, because you know what? I would have thought otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Not discrimination. But, you know, in Illinois, and I just did this recently within the last year, but on my driver's license, it indicates that I'm a veteran, and I don't know if it has Purple Heart on it, but certainly. And I would encourage all veterans to, when they get their driver's license, make sure you go to the Secretary of State, take your DD-214 with you, so they put that on your license. Maybe you'll get a little better treatment, because if they stopped him, obviously they stopped him in a car or something, and maybe they would have seen that. Maybe something like PTSD might have come to mind, and maybe we've gotten some treatment. And I just would encourage all veterans, take advantage of everything. You know, if you got a military plate, get a military plate. Get a military driver's license.
Something else.
That a cop might say, well, I'm going to give him a little more deference.
Yeah.
He might have been through a lot, might have suffered a lot. Look, my plate out here right now has Purple Heart on it.
Yeah, that's
good. So I've had a couple of cops stop me and, you know, what unit were you in, brother?
You know, go right here.
Huh?
Why would they stop you?
I have no idea.
I don't drink
anymore.
I've known him for years.
And let's make sure we do that right. And you're absolutely right, attorney, to make sure that they take their DD-214. But before they go to the DVM, they have to go to the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs and get a stamp on it first.
Right.
Okay. So we want to make sure that they do that.
And we also want everybody to put down an organ donation.
Yes, absolutely.
And regardless of race, let's treat veterans with respect. Mm-hmm. Race has nothing to do with it. They have earned it.
Right.
Period.
And the sheriff should have been outraged about that incident and not just said that it was inappropriate and it was not something that they condone.
Right. But one of the bigger issues about this is also an argument against privatization, because that there was a healthcare provider actually on site. They had two nurses go in and check on him. But the complaint was from the family of the gentleman that passed away is that, A, they didn't spend any time with the person. They didn't treat him for his drug addiction or anything that might have led to his overdose.
Okay, sure.
They laughed at him. And on top of that, the service that they represent has been reported several times and has a history of having people die from overdose in custody.
Right. In that place.
At the Corazon, this is run by Corazon Medical Services.
Yeah.
And they're contracted, a private contractor. They have a history of this.
And they have a drug. What's that drug that they have, Doc, that they can administer when
You have different things like Narcan. Different things you can give.
Right.
He had amphetamine and methamphetamine overdose, but you can actually get the person down with that, and you just need to watch them. You need to put them in an intensive care unit setting, make sure the person recovers correctly.
773-591-1690 is our number. Let's take a caller. Robert, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Get away from the radio. Yes. I just heard your story about the veteran who was hit, put in jail and tortured. You know, are you familiar with the Camp Van Doren massacre?
No, I'm not. I think I've heard of it, but I don't.
Centerville, Mississippi. Overnight, I think they...
When was this?
It was 1943.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, an army has a history of, they lynched a mass.
We know a lot of things that have happened, that Nazi prisoners were treated better than African-American soldiers right here in this country.
I
got
you. It still goes on.
Yeah. Okay, Robert, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Let's go to our next Fox News clip. Marine veteran 80 receives Medal of Honor for Vietnam bravery.
Sergeant Major John Canley was born in Caledonia, Arkansas. In 1953, at the age of 15, John used his brother's paperwork to enlist in the United States Marines. John, we didn't know that, John. John served in South Korea and Japan before shipping out to Vietnam for more than 5 years of intense combat. On January 30th, 1968, Vietnamese families gathered to celebrate the Lunar New Year, known as Tet. In the midst of the celebration, thousands of North Vietnamese communists launched surprise attacks all over and throughout the country. This became known as the Tet Offensive, one of the largest enemy offensives that we've ever seen, and certainly of the Vietnam War. Within the first day, the communists seized control of a vital American stronghold, Way City. At the time of the attack, John was a gunnery sergeant with Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, 1st Marine Regiment. This company of roughly 150 Marines was tasked to help take back the city. On their way, the enemy attacked them with machine guns, mortars, rockets, and everything else they had. John's friend, Pat Fraley, was struck by a rocket explosion and was about to be run over by a tank when John charged through enemy fire.
That's, of course, Trump, our commander-in-chief, giving this gentleman a Medal of Honor. And, you know, I'm sure he understands, you know, he would have been there, but he had bone spurs. Gentleman from Arkansas, he enlisted when he was 15. I can understand that. Black man in Arkansas, he probably wanted to enlist when he was 10 to get out of there. You know what I mean?
Arkansas,
yeah. But he was a hero.
Was he a black man?
Yes.
So this was a good thing.
Yeah, this is good.
It's great. I'm glad he got it. He deserves it. We have a CNN handout. For the first time, a woman is leading the largest command in the U.S. Army. We have a clip from that.
You have women that go into combat that have to carry around combat that was made for men that's not even fitting to the women's body, but yet they have to adjust. Women that are in combat go through a lot that when they come back, it's like you are trained and drilled so hard to be a man, look like a man, act like a man, but then you have to come back and be a woman. So there's a lot of things that you go into a transition of that, but going into it, I mean, some women feel they can handle it. Some men disagree that, no, a woman can't handle that or shouldn't do that, and women with their menstruals and all those things that can cause, you know, issues or challenges. But just like everything else in life, the military prepares you, and you step up to the role, you're going to make it happen. You have go-getters out there that won't let anything stop. They don't care about a gender. When we go in and we're in the military, I mean, we all dress alike, but of course we look a little different. But at the same time, when it comes down to it, you're not going to question, oh, am I going to send this person or that person because you're a man and you're a woman? You know, they're both prepared and you're going to send them because they're prepared. So the military, I think, gives us opportunities as women to step up and do things that some men think us women shouldn't do. But then we continue to prove them wrong by making it happen and being the first woman this or the first woman that. So I think the more that we can be open that women can serve, and if they want to, provide them with the resources, the right fitting equipment and uniforms and things like that so that they can get the job done too. Because women are phenomenal just like men. Military veterans are extra phenomenal. And when you got a military vet that's a woman, it can't get any better than that.
I vote aye. I sure do.
Cliff, that was Kim McGraw. That was a Navy veteran who served in the military, and I met her and interviewed her last year.
Good.
At a veterans event for services. So we have, you know, one of the great things happening is that you're seeing women step up to the plate and being recognized.
Yeah, that's great.
Rochelle, I'm sure you used to fly a Black Hawk.
Yeah, I am just elated to hear it. And as you heard her about all the controversy about what they had to do versus the men, and you know what? She had to prove herself, and the mere fact that now she's a lieutenant general, we all know she did that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So for the first time, a woman is leading the largest command in the U.S. Army.
Yes, but her name is Laura J. Richardson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She's the very first woman that's leading the largest command in U.S. Army. The audio was regarding a Navy veteran woman named Kim McGraw having a comment about it.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Yeah. Three-star general.
Yeah.
And she's a pilot also. Don't forget that.
Yeah,
she's just not an Army person. She's a pilot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Land, air, and sea.
That's great. That's great.
Triple threat.
Yeah. This is America's Heroes Group, and we'll be taking a break in a moment, and we'll be back. Our number is 773-591-1690.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, I'm O.S. Owen, the volunteer recruiter for the AARP Foundation Experience Corps. AARP Foundation is proud to partner and sponsor America's Heroes Group. Hey, Cliff, veterans matter, and they're one of the great pillars of our communities across this great country.
As a veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, I totally endorse AARP Foundation Experience Corps volunteer in guiding the next generation of readers.
We both agree veterans would make great volunteers for our children.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group.
Hi, I'm Chuck Bourne, veteran and advisory board member of America's Heroes Group. Veterans, family members, and community.
Please join America's Heroes Group every last Saturday of the month for a buffet dinner at Pearl's Place, starting at 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m.
We can't think of a better place to eat on Saturday than Pearl's Place.
WVON.com. The website. Check it out. The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
It is 4:33 on Saturday, October 20th. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, and our panel is here, and we are so pleased to have them all here, of course. And our number, again, is 773-591-1690. And we are so pleased to have on our live line a public official who continues to do such a great job, not only for all the people of the county, but particularly for veterans. She is the Honorable Karen A. Yarbrough, who's the Cook County Recorder of Deeds and Democratic nominee for Cook County Clerk. She is a full-time administrator overseeing a $12 million budget and 140 employees, one of the largest recorder's offices in the United States by volume. In that role, she has established herself as a national leader in the growing movement to change the office of county recorder from a place where property fraud happens to a place where property fraud is confronted. She is also recognized internationally for her leadership in encouraging efficiency and security through the promotion of blockchain technology. She's got a number of degrees, and one of them is Advanced Leadership Studies at Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and served on numerous boards enhancing the quality of life for citizens and received many prestigious awards. And we are always pleased to have her, and she does such great work for veterans. How are you?
I am well, Cliff.
Good.
I am well. And you have a panel there that I love.
Thank you.
Thank
that's
you.
Good. That's
and
good.
We love you, too.
Yeah. Too. See, that's where you're for. Yeah, we love you, too. Otherwise, it could be kind of bad. But, you know, but you do such a great job for veterans. You have an event coming up, and
we want folks to come out. I mean, we have prepared long and hard for this event, and one of your panelists is going to be with us to be our keynote. I'm so excited about hearing from him, and that's Dr. Damon Arnold.
Yeah.
The one and only. I had the opportunity of being in Springfield when he was there, and I tell you, I missed him when he left, but I tell you, he did a fantastic job when he was there. Everywhere he goes, he leaves his mark, okay?
Well, you know, a lot of people, Karen, pardon me for interrupting you, but a lot of people don't know what you were, Doc.
Yeah, I was the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell
state.
You something that Karen A. Yarborough was one of the most important people you had in Springfield as far as bringing this community up to a level of where it is now. She did so many things in the background. When I got back from being in, overseas with the war, you know, I you turn around and you try to figure out where you are again, get your bearings again. And she did a phenomenal job. She has veterans in her family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
and
yeah.
And also her father, right?
Yes.
And when I got to the Cook County Recorder of Deeds office, if you are a veteran, you need to go down there. I had such a fanfare. I felt so proud
walking
in that office and what you offer for veterans and for jobs and making sure that veterans' needs are met. There's no better person I know of down in that City Hall area.
That's right. She does a great job. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
Go right
Dr.
ahead
Arnold.
And tell us more, Karen, because about the event, and then about what you specifically do for veterans.
I want everybody to mark their calendars for next Wednesday, October 24th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And everybody knows where Malcolm X College is. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to be. Mm-hmm. It's at 1900 West Jackson Boulevard. We've got workshops and vendors. We have employment and vocational training opportunities. I heard somebody who was just on the show talking about women, veterans' needs, housing, emergency services, of course, health and wellness screenings, networking, educational benefits. I mean, we're going to have food, raffles. We're going to have a good time, you know, along with meeting the needs of the folks who show up at the door. So we want you to pack that place. Because we have reached out far and wide to make sure we have something for everyone. Again, Wednesday, October 24th, that's this Wednesday coming up, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Malcolm X College. Now, Cliff, you asked me what do we do for the veterans. I want to tell you a short story.
Sure.
You know, when I went to the Recorder Deeds office, that was one of the first things I asked. I already knew that they record the military discharge papers.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that walking in the door. But when I walked around, I asked, well, where do you do that? And how does anybody even know we do that? And they said, well, you know, we don't do very many, and, you know, only if they ask us. And, oh, my goodness, I got, you know, something went to my head. It's like, what? We offer this service and nobody knows about it. So the very first thing we did, what I did, was I wanted to see what the process was. And I said, never again will any veteran darken that door and be sent from place to place to place to do anything. So we opened up an office on the first floor. It's our welcoming place for veterans. They will come in there and they will be facilitated. That, you know, we're going to give them whatever it is that they're looking for, like if they want to record their DD-214s, but we're also going to sign them up for this is the one thing that everybody looks for when they come there. I think we do more of these cards, these discount cards.
Oh, yes. I have mine in my wallet.
I'm telling you, because when I look at the numbers on a weekly basis, I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this. Anyway, so we have a military discount card with all of these goods and services all over the place. You'd be surprised. We've got about 200 and some vendors that are signed up, and we get more every week. People want to help veterans. So you're going to get that, and you're going to get a card. We're going to take a picture of you there, and then we're going to give you a certificate to thank you for your service. Now, for the Vietnam vets, I'm especially concerned, you know, of how this country treated the Vietnam era vets when they came home. Now, I lived through that era, and it was awful, okay? It was absolutely awful. It was a war nobody wanted in the first place. But when the guys came home, the way they were treated. So we particularly thank those veterans for their service, you know. And sometimes I tell you, Cliff, if you were ever there to see, they just appreciate it so much. So they are held in high regard. Everybody who walks through that door that's a veteran is always going to be treated with dignity and respect.
Yes.
Well, you've done such a great job. And I just had to laugh, Karen, when you mentioned the discount card.
You can get one.
Now, I don't know whether I should be saying this or not, because I don't want people to think that I got any special treatment, but I got one in the mail.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
What does that entitle you to? Of course you did. But it's for all the veterans and even people who are in the military now, active, inactive, whatever. We just want them to come in and get these cards. These people want to serve veterans.
Yeah.
They do. They
I
want
they do.
To do that. And if you walk into some of these places and you tell them that you're a veteran, oh my goodness, you know, they're just so appreciative.
It's great.
So appreciative.
Ernesto had a question, Karen.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Ernesto Borges.
Good. Just want to compliment you on the great job that you're doing.
Oh,
and
thank
we
you.
Go back
thank you.
Quite a
we want to do more.
Yeah,
no,
great.
You do.
I have a. I don't know what the discount card entitles you to, but I will be there to get one.
Absolutely.
Change the topic just a little bit, because I saw in the paper where Fred Hampton's home, where he was about to lose his home, or his son was, and I kind of have a solution for it. I don't know how to reach out to the family, because Bill was my fraternity brother. He passed away.
Oh, okay.
And
I want to
help them. If no one's reached out, I have a solution.
I know a lot about what's going on there, because, you know, Cliff will tell you if it's going on and if it's near me, I'm involved.
That's right.
Okay?
Well, I know you're from that Maywood area.
So Fred Jr. was down at our office yesterday.
Okay.
I certainly knew the dilemma the property was in before Bill even died, because when his mom died, the home was in foreclosure at the time. I tell you, it's a sad story, but then, you know, I think it's going to have a happy ending. But anyway, he came in and we told him exactly what to do.
Okay.
There are three heirs that are involved, but of course there was no will, and there was they didn't have a plan, okay?
Yeah.
They really didn't have a plan. And quite frankly, Fred Jr. did not know that, you know, the property was in foreclosure.
Well, we know you'll be helping him out, because
you know it?
Oh, yeah, and we had
it?
Him on, and Congressman Davis came on.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
I didn't know, because I know the sale was scheduled for Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomorrow, we're having a an event, a big block party right across the street from the house. It's at Irving School. We're going to have a big block party, and of course we're reaching out to people who have interest in helping the family.
Very good.
Now, like I said, we know it's supposed to go to sale in a couple of days, and our attorneys are going to be going there to, usually those things don't go to, they'll go to sale, but they're not sold.
Exactly.
But because he has been identified now as an heir, he's going to be going to probate court to, to do what he needs to do to stake his claim.
Very good.
And then, there's all kinds of programs that are out there, the Hardest Hit Fund. There are any number. We've got folks, in fact, that are going to be there on next week from these housing counseling agencies and stuff that can help. And we're going to put them in touch with that. But we're not going to let that brother not get the help that he needs. We're going to make sure he gets what he needs.
We know will. Yeah, Dr. Arnold has a question.
Yeah, I want to say Cook County Recorder of Deeds, Yarborough, you are phenomenal. And I'm looking for Cook County Clerk coming up. But I want to say one thing is that, when I was there, even with my personal property, I went and had, things done for my property, and I was overrun by the professionalism that your staff demonstrated. So it's not just the veteran side of your office, but it's what you do on a regular basis that you've been able to organize that office and have people come forward and do the right things for us.
Great.
So I'm really it was professional and quick.
I appreciate you saying that. And when I said we want to do more, I absolutely mean that. This situation with the Hamptons, it's unfortunate that our people get into these situations, because they don't know. They just don't know. And so what we are doing in our office more than anything else is educating people on how they can transfer wealth without going through probate and all of that. And, it's just been a phenomenal experience to give somebody some information that kind of lights up their eyes so that they can do it for themselves.
That's
people
good.
Don't want a handout. Yeah. They want to know how to themselves. They feel good about it when they can learn something and they can do it for themselves and their families. I'm about helping people to transfer that wealth to the next generation.
Let's take a caller for Ms. Yarborough. Kirk is calling. Hi, Kirk.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Go right ahead. You're on with Karen Yarborough.
Well, it's great on that. Now, the DD-214 service, does that extend also to your actual discharge?
Your discharge papers, okay? We record them for perpetuity, okay? Meaning, we do it in our office for free for veterans, and we will have a copy of that in our office for you and your loved ones forever, okay? Mm-hmm. So that any time you would need a copy of it, it's there for you.
And so when you would transition, your family could would the funeral director be responsible for obtaining that, or would the family?
The family would do it. Okay. The family would do it. But if the funeral director called us and said, because we have them in a database where we can look them up quickly, and if it's there, it's there. And because people want to have, the military funeral. So yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have a brother who's disabled and would not be able to get to the office. What should I do?
You should call my office. If you have a pen, I'll give you the number.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 312-603-5050. And you want to ask for Brian Cross. Brian is over our Veterans Service Office, and he will tell you exactly what to do.
Okay.
Okay. And Cliff.
Yes.
Just one quick thing. When you referred to you said our commander in chief.
Yeah.
And that terminology really is wrong. He's only the commander in chief of the armed forces for the nation and civilians. He's the president.
Okay. I'm speaking here as the head of a show as a show that is only dealing with veterans.
Oh, okay.
If you heard me on another show, you wouldn't hear me say that.
Okay.
So,
and lastly,
you've had lastly. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. let's go to Kofi is with us. Hi, Kofi.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing?
Fine. How are you, sir? Good.
Yeah, it's Eric Kofi James. I spoke with you, Karen. I'm actually running against her.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually running against her as a write-in, and I want to thank you for your work, Karen. I'm sure you know who I am.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, why are you write-in?
Huh?
Well, yeah. So you're a write-in candidate?
Yes, I am, for Cook County Clerk, yes.
Yeah, well, why do you want to do that?
because of the TIF tax appropriation, giving people back their property.
Have you got something to say relative to a veteran show?
Yes. And let me remind, excuse me, as executive producer, let me remind both of you all, we are a 501(c), so we don't care who's running, okay?
All right. I'm bringing it all together. I am a veteran child, so these discounts, give them an EBT card. We need to work on a veteran's children. I'm affected by my father coming back from Vietnam War, having me and going through those issues. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, and the children, that way you boost that father and that mother who are Vietnam vets who understand that you're trying to help not just them, their family, and then cut off the property tax. You know, at 72 years old, you don't have to pay property tax, right? So why don't you cut the property tax? So the property tax is actually what's taking.
No, that's not true at all, Kofi.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, you need to do a lot more before you run.
Right, exactly.
I wish that was true.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? In the recorder deeds office, we have nothing
to do with that.
Right. You have anything to do with it anyway.
Yeah, call the treasurer first before you come like that.
Fill us in on some more, Ms.
Regarding your veterans program.
The veterans program, which you do such a great job at the Recorder of Deeds.
I appreciate that. I just want people to come to our resource fair.
That's what you need to push right now.
Mm-hmm. To hear from people who know more than I do and people who have served. You know, Cliff, I wanted to go to the military. You know, when I came.
Nope,
I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do something in public service, and I wasn't clear on, like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some, when they tell me, oh, I want to be a doctor, I'm like, how do you know? I've never been one before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a lawyer. Well, I don't know if I want to do that either. But I knew I wanted public service, but I wasn't able to go in two instances. Now, check this out. As a woman, I was a woman, and I had a child, so they told me in the military I would have to give my daughter over to somebody to adopt them or something, and I couldn't get in the military.
Wow.
When I went, listen, and then they discriminated against me again when I tried to become a police officer in Washington, D.C. They said I had to be at least 5'6" tall. Well, I'm 5'4½".
Oh, my goodness.
They wouldn't let me serve.
At least your heart was right, recorder.
Well, you showed them, and now you're serving.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Doing fine.
Consolidating the offices of Cook County?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
We're consolidating the offices, right?
Yeah.
So, when I ran for re-election, that was on the ballot to consolidate the two offices.
Mm-hmm.
I did not support that because
I know you didn't.
savings that they said they were looking for, it would have to, I mean, I'd have to be getting rid of a bunch of people, in which, I wasn't for that because I know what it takes to run, certainly the recorder's office. And then, you know, the clerk's office has so many moving parts. I mean, they've got taxes, they've got elections, they've got vital records, and, you know, so there's a lot that they do in that office. So to pull those two together, I just think people are going to be confused about where to go for what.
Right.
But since the people said they want to consolidate, it's going to be, has to be done by 2020. So what I'll be doing in December, I'll be sworn in December, so I'll take over as the clerk in December. And I'll use the entire year working on, not what I should be working on is transition, but I'm going to have to be working on consolidation and seeing how we can make sure that we do this right. This has to be done right. And, of course, I didn't get a plan. They didn't give me a plan of how to do it. So I got to figure that out.
Yeah, well, we know you will figure it out.
Well, you know, hey, Cliff, you know what I always say? You know, when I was in Springfield, I had the opportunity to carry the bill to abolish the death penalty. So I figured if I can abolish the death penalty, I can do anything.
That's right. And I believe you can. And you'll do
I'm going to do my best, I tell you that. I'm going to do my very,
well, whatever
very
we
best.
Can do to help you, you just let us know.
I appreciate that.
Ms. Yarbrough, do you know for the Veterans Discount Card, if they're going to still have the free White Sox tickets for the Veterans Discount Card?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That and for the Cubs fans, we're still working on them.
They have free White Sox.
We're still working on the Cubs.
Hell, I like this show. I didn't even know that.
we get free White Sox tickets. That's right.
I got a card, and I should check and see what I can get, right?
See, Cliff, you got the card, and you got the document tells you all of the different services that people are offering and the percentages off and all of that, and you just haven't opened it up to look at it.
Oh, that is great. Free White
you
Sox.
Are missing out.
I sure am, sweetheart. I sure am. I'll shape up. See, that's why I like this show. I find out that.
There you go.
I'll be over there Monday.
Please, Wednesday, October 24th.
That's right.
From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Malcolm X College. Meet me there. Okay. I'm going to be there. My entire staff will be there. This is one of our signature programs that we do on an annual basis. We every one of my staff people, they love doing this stuff. And this will be on their day off, of course. But we look at it as a day on rather than a day off.
I just think that's great. That is wonderful.
Yeah. So, Cliff, you need to come on down there, and I'll school you on what all you got coming on your discount card.
I'm going to do that. Let's take another call before we run out of time. Charmaine is with us. Hi, you're on WVON with the wonderful Karen Yarbrough. Charmaine, are you there? No, I guess not. Okay, I guess you fell out. All right, well, I guess that's it then, everybody. Wednesday, October 24th. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Malcolm X College. You know, we were over there not too long ago with WVON, and what they've done to the college is just great.
Oh, my goodness.
It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody hadn't dropped me at the door, I would have thought I was in the wrong place. And, of course, the guest speaker is Dr. Damon Arnold. Oh, yeah. So he's going to be great.
And I'll be there, too.
Yeah, so, okay, fine. Yeah. Sure. Sean's going to be there.
Great. Yeah,
I'll be there. And this is Rochelle, the National Women Veterans United really are proud of you and everything you've done, and particularly for this program that you've done over the last couple of years. So thank you again, and we look forward to the partnership on Wednesday.
And I look forward to seeing you too, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Karen, you continue
see
to
Wednesday.
Do
it. See
you Wednesday. You've done a great
right.
job. Love you.
Okay.
Take care
thank
now.
You.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
She is great. She's done such a great job. That's fantastic. Anybody got anything to say in our last minute?
America's Heroes Group will also be there on Wednesday to pass out some information and meet and greet some people. And so we're looking forward to it as well.
Oh, that's good.
The fabulous Glenda.
Yeah.
And this is really important for it.
Would you want to give the other information that you and Sean are supposed to do?
There we go. It's time. So I guess it's time, right, Governor?
Well, maybe not. It's 4:58.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to say.
You have to say it really slow.
Not filler. But, you know, I'm very happy to hear about what happened with the awarding of the Medal of Honor to this black Marine. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, in being in Vietnam, of course, black soldiers and Marines were not honored for their bravery and courage. Mm-hmm. To the greet, and that's why this man is getting honored. After so many years, some of those officers at the time would ignore many of the black soldiers. And I'm glad this is an honor that's coming a little late. But
Absolutely, and let's not leave out Dory Miller. The fight has been continuous. It's still on, and more people need to get involved with that because it's an injustice.
And I want to say my thoughts and prayers. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Brian Perry and his family after that tragic death in that prison system that should not have happened.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions or concerns regarding housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at
312-803-2618. And we're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. Sean, social media.
And make sure that you go to our website, americashg.org. That's americashg.org. We can leave comments and see the shows like today and many shows we've done in the past on our audio and video. Now, also, make sure you like us on our comments. We have different comment sections on different programs. Engage in those topics and leave us a comment. Whether it's good or bad, make sure we know what's on your mind.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. And thanks to our technical producer, Isaac Taylor.
Yay.